Dave, the wall that heals is about 250 feet in length, so it's a half-scale model of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., but the emotions are still just as powerful, I would imagine, when people see the wall that heals.
That's exactly accurate, Kathy. I've been to the memorial in D.C. several times, and when people walk up to it, you may have several hundred people there, and it's like being in church. People are quiet. People are lost in reverie. Some are tracing names. Some will actually put mementos at the base of it. Some actually will do the same thing when the traveling wall comes. It is, as you mentioned, half the size, but it's still two legs. They're each 125 feet in length, and people can trace names or everything that they do in the memorial in D.C.
Tell us about the process of setting up the wall that heals.
Well, actually, the process begins about a year and a half out where you request it, because it's very much in demand. It will arrive in two tractor trailers. One is an education center. The other has the actual memorial in it. They require about 15 people to help set it up, so we've been working on that. We'll have the folks there. So it will be open and ready to go on the morning of July 2nd, which is Thursday. We'll have a ceremony at 10 a.m. at the Kane County Memorial Park. We anticipate a lot of folks there. We've been getting the word out. It was in Delaware, I'm guessing about 15 years ago, down at Legislative Mall. And they had the opportunity for people to actually read the names, and that's what we're going to do too. We're allowing people to sign up to spend a half hour reading the names. We're going to try to include all 58,300 plus names. So out of respect for that, that's what we intend to do. It'll be open 24 hours a day.
I imagine that for some folks, it's very tough to get to Washington, D.C. to see the wall, not just geographically, but kind of emotionally.
That's exactly right. You may see people standing there and they don't know what to say. Some will clearly have a lump in their throat. Some will be tracing names. And I believe we will see the same thing to a limited extent here when it comes to Dover. It's a cathartic effect for a great many people, regardless of what side you're on politically during that conflict.
Along with the wall itself, there's a mobile education center, so you'll have photos of service members and exhibits that the young people can learn more about the Vietnam War.
Exactly right. It is an important part of our history, and in fact, it shapes our engagement today. People were obviously split on many sides during that conflict. The argument was, well, it was a political war. Yeah, to some extent, every war is a political war. I think most Vietnam veterans would like people to know that when we left after the ceasefire was signed in 1973, the lights were on. We turned the country over to a democratic government in South Vietnam, and it was more than 2 years later that after we were gone that the North invaded in violation of the Paris Peace Accords. So some say, well, we lost that war. Well, no, we didn't lose it. The will was not there to give the South Vietnamese the assistance that we had promised them. And I understand people were war weary. But a big part of it is that Vietnam veterans were essentially, to a great extent, blamed for the war. People who had been drafted in many instances. And that was a stigma that was hard for many veterans. To this day, there's a bitterness there.
Perception has since changed for the most part.
They have, but it has changed. I think a big part of that, Kathy, has to do with the founding of the Vietnam Veterans of America back in 1987. And one of the goals, in fact, the national slogan became, "Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another." But I know many veterans who were told, when you get off of that airplane in California, change. Do not walk into that terminal with your uniform on, change into civvies, because in some cases people were spit on, yelled at, cursed at, had things thrown on them. And that was very difficult for somebody coming out of the jungle who had done his best to fight for our country. Because of our experiences, we take that to heart. Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. And that goes both ways, whether it's World War II veterans or to our current veterans, who we very much appreciate. And at the forefront, the Vietnam Veterans of America have been there attending rallies, attending funerals, doing what they can to raise funds, to raise visibility for our current generation of patriots and their families.
Can you take us back to the first time that you visited the Vietnam Memorial?
Oh, boy. It was difficult. It was, I believe, 1982 is when it was dedicated, and it was a couple of years that I kind of put it out of my mind. As they say, some people say it was just a big black gash in the ground, but when you see it, it has a whole different effect, a whole different impact. And the way that the names are on there, it's chronologically. So on the left side, you'll see the first person who died there in 1959, all the way through the end of the conflict. And they have books, and you can go through and find out exactly where the name that you're looking at is, and go down there, and they say people trace it. It's not just Vietnam veterans there. You will see all generations down there at that. Well, I've been there about three or four times. It makes you remember. It makes you think back, and particularly if there's names on there who you knew.
I've been to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., but I've also seen the replica, and it was just as moving.
Absolutely. It was down in southern Delaware. I want to say Seaford rather than Georgetown. It's Seaford. Time slips by maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and I went down for that, and I signed up to read the names. And I think I filled three slots because I wanted to make sure that I got to recite the name of my sister's fiancé who was killed over there.
The Wall That Heals and the visit to Dover is the result of a partnership between the Delaware Commission of Veterans Affairs and the VVA, Chapter 850, who will be hosting the memorial. And you worked with them to get the Memorial Park in Kent County underway.
They gave us an acre and a half back in 2007, and they said, do us proud. And we have done them proud. We built the memorial to the Vietnam Memorial, dedicated that in 2009. It was all private money. We got it by selling bricks. Then we 3 years later, dedicated a Gold Star Mother and Families Memorial to all generations of families who have lost someone. And we dedicated a Korean War Memorial last year. And we're working on a Middle East Conflicts Memorial right now.
Dave, you mentioned that the Memorial Park in Kent County
was
put together with private donations.
Yes.
And actually more than $8 million was raised to build the wall in Washington, D.C. That says something.
It really does. I think it started to, people start thinking about it, whether it was a conscious thing, whether it was a recollection. Hey, remember when? And they go, wow, you know. I remember reading Tom Brokaw's book about the 60s, and I thought he underemphasized the people who actually served in uniform. He talked about the generation who, you know, went their own way, the hippie generation and the demonstrations and all that. But the folks who were actually allowed themselves to be drafted and went over there and faced death on a daily basis, to me, just like today, they are the heroes. I'm a retired military. I served in three branches, the Air Force, the Army National Guard here in Delaware, and finally the Navy Reserve in D.C. and the Pentagon. And I remember the third level, there was at least back in 07 when I retired, a big case about 15 feet long and a big banner behind it. It said every generation has its heroes. This one is no different. Many of these folks have just gone on multiple tours away from their families, in harm's way. We need to make sure that we take care of these folks. A lot of people who have never had to worry about whether there would be somebody rapping on a door 3 o'clock in the morning because they said something that wasn't appropriate on a radio station like this or on television or wrote a letter to the editor, which is in great many parts of the world today. But people who've never traveled anywhere but here they kind of take it for granted. So we think that we just want to remind them of this, of the sacrifices that are made. Because very simply, Kathy, fewer than 1% of Americans actually put their right hand up to enlist. So we, in a very real sense, in terms of warriors who protect us and allow us to live our lives here, we're looking at the cream of the crop in a very real sense.